It's growing. Do you know, our youth work, I think, has grown from about 3 to 20 in the last 6 months. Now, some of that is people, children going up into the youth, but it's just growing. So it's wonderful to see. Kids' work is growing too. Lovely. Good. Wow. Well, we are on a series about the kingdom of God and about how the kingdom is growing. And today, we're still in the series, but we're going to do a slightly different angle on it than we thought we were going to do. The kingdom is ever growing. When Jesus first came, he announced the kingdom is near, the kingdom is here. And when Jesus returns, the kingdom will be, the theologians call it consummated. It will be fully here. And we live in this tension of the kingdom has come, and yet it's not fully here. And so we are pushing back. The kingdom's ever extending. As people get saved, they're coming into the kingdom. As people get healed, the kingdom of God has come upon them. As people get set free, the kingdom has come upon them. So all the while, the kingdom is growing. It's ever expanding across the earth. And so in the book of Acts, before the church started, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, there's a promise of Jesus, wait in the city. So he's telling the early disciples, wait in the city, wait in Jerusalem, wait for the power of the Spirit to come, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the ends of the earth. And what that represented, Jerusalem was the place where they were. Judea was the surrounding region and area. Samaria was the area to the north, where it's kind of the, how do you put it? Well, they looked down on the Samaritans for a start. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans because the Samaritans were kind of intermingled with the religions around them, and so they'd lost kind of the plot. So the gospel was to go to them. It's getting wider. The kingdom's getting wider. Then it's to go to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The city where you're at, the area where you're around, the parts of the country where the people don't like you very much, and then all the way to the ends of the earth. There's a good, amazing leader within our movement of churches, New Frontiers, our wider movement of churches, called Martin Dunsford, who travels all over Eurasia preaching the gospel and helping church leaders. And there is a town in Kazakhstan that's name translates as the ends of the earth, and he has been there. The gospel will get to the ends of the earth. I think in scripture it means the whole world. The gospel is going to occur across the whole world. But what happened in the book of Acts was that it started out with Jewish Christians. Jews were getting saved on the day of Pentecost. It's Pentecost today. Holy Spirit fell. 3,000 people got saved, at least. 3,000 people got baptized in one day. Can you imagine that? Sunday the 9th of June. I think it's 1 at the moment. But what if it was 3,000? We'd be there all day. We'd have to get multiple baptistries out and we'd be dunking all day. Incredible. So that on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people at least got saved, repented, trusted Jesus, got baptized, but it's still mainly Jews. And what happens in the book of Acts is gradually the kingdom of God, as it grows, it expands with who the kingdom of God is available to. So the Jews at the time, around Jesus' time, were very nationalistic. And Jesus is bringing this message that actually it's going to be, the kingdom is wider than that, which is what it should have been. Because when Abraham got called, Abraham got blessed so that he could be a blessing to all families on the earth. And so gradually Acts, they're beginning to understand as the Holy Spirit is revealing to them, come on, this kingdom of God is wider than you think. This kingdom of God is for everybody. It's for all the nations. And so chapter 3, an unclean Jew gets healed and saved. So there's a guy that's crippled who wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. He gets healed. He gets saved. The kingdom is coming. In a couple of chapters on, a Samaritan gets saved and a God-fearing African. So there's the Ethiopian eunuch who also wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. Goes to Jerusalem, on his way back home, has this amazing encounter with Philip, gets saved, gets baptized. Chapter 11, the first non-Jews get saved, and then we come to a place on Antioch, which I'm going to speak on for just a few minutes. So Antioch, which starts in chapter 11 of Acts, verse 19, to me is the model church. We get excited about Acts 2 and reading about Acts 2. But when you see Acts 11, that church in Antioch, it is the kind of model church for the kingdom growing. It's a beautiful church. Haven't got, because of the way we're going to do the sermon today, it's going to be a team effort. I haven't got time to go into it completely. So during the week, I'll put a post up with 10 different things about the Antioch church that made it amazing. Today, I'm just going to mention a few of them. So the gospel gets to Antioch, and in Antioch, suddenly, you are getting a church with different nations getting saved. Okay, it's not just Jews, or it's not just a church with some Gentiles. Suddenly, we're getting this church where the gospel is spreading. In Acts chapter 11, it says Hellenists. Basically, that means Gentiles, non-Jewish people are getting saved. And you're getting this incredible church suddenly that's springing up that's Jew and Gentile together in Christ. Okay, it's the nations getting saved. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. What we're going to do is read Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. So what happens as they get saved? So if you want to turn to Acts 13, what happens as the church gets planted? You're getting the nations coming in. You get born. So the apostles back in Jerusalem here, something's going on in Antioch. There's a church being planted, lots of people getting saved. We're not quite sure what's going on. Can you go and check it out? So they send a guy called Barnabas. Now, Barnabas is such a cool guy because his name means son of encouragement. So he's a man who just looks to encourage people. That's his kind of gifting. He's one of those people, you hang around Barnabas, you're going to come away blessed and encouraged. So Barnabas goes to Antioch. He checks it out and he sees the grace of God. He sees the favor of God. He sees the blessing of God on the place. And he says, come on, stay faithful to God. Keep going. Then he goes 100 miles to go and find Saul, to bring Saul to Antioch. And then Saul and Barnabas spend a whole year teaching the church and blessing them and encouraging them. And so what you get is this amazing church. About a year later is where we're at in Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. Let's read it. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, Antioch is the first intercultural church. It's the first church where there's a mix of cultures coming together and they're embracing the different nations, the diversity of people in the church, and just enjoying the favor of God in that. Okay? So when we talk about an intercultural church, we're talking about a church that's all about Jesus. Okay? We're not talking about bringing in other weird religions. We're talking about being pure to Jesus, but different nations and different cultures coming in and enjoying the expression of that. Okay? Yesterday was a great example. Okay? I could nearly dance. You know? We were enjoying the African cultural expression of Christianity together. Okay? So interculturals, so different nations gathered together, mix of cultures, coming to Jesus, learning from one another, growing and loving one another. And so Barnabas has brought Saul to help. And so within a year, so after a year of teaching, they have got an ethnically diverse leadership team. Five men here on their leadership team from as different backgrounds as you could imagine. So Paul, or Saul, and Barnabas, they're both from a Jewish background outside of Palestine. Lucius is from a place called Cyrene, which is in North Africa. Manaus, he comes from a privileged background. He's grown up in Herod's household. So you've got like a mix of class. For us British people, we're used to class. So they've got a mixture of class in that team. They have got Simeon, who was called Niger. Now, That means that he was a black African, basically. So I checked it out. Niger, it's not the country Niger. It's the Latin word, Greek word, Niger, which means black. So he was a black African. So on that team, they got a diversity of nations in the leadership. They got Jews from outside Palestine. They've got a guy from North Africa. They've got a privileged guy who knows Herod the Tetrarch. And they've got a black African upon the team. And so what they're showing now, what you're seeing is this book unfolds, as the book of Acts unfolds, is the kingdom of God is getting wider and wider and wider. The nations are hearing about Jesus. The nations are coming together. Churches are beginning to grow that express the diversity of the people around. It's really, really, really exciting. And so even the leadership of the church is showing that the gospel is for everyone. It's for all peoples, all backgrounds. Rich and poor, black and white. Saul, the persecutor. Barnabas, the really encouraging guy. You know, people are coming to Jesus from all sorts of different backgrounds. As William Barclay wrote, that little group is an example of the unifying influence of Christianity. Individuals from many lands and many backgrounds have discovered the secret of togetherness because they discovered the secret of Jesus. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's what Jesus brings us together. Jesus brings us together. I love it. I love what the Lord is doing in Antioch, and I love what the Lord is doing here. It's really exciting to see. This week, just this week, we were doing the ICAF, our community cafe, where we're teaching English to refugees, mainly Ukrainians and some Turkish folks and other nations. And at the end of it, two ladies from the hospital popped in who are in charge of, inductions at the hospital. And they came in and asked us what we were doing and loved what we were doing. And we're going to get invited to the next induction day at the hospital, apparently, where they're inducting new folks that have come from other nations. So it's great to see the favour as a church that we're getting in the town. And then later on in the week, I was in a meeting where King's Lynn has been given £20 million to make King's Lynn nicer. And they were getting business leaders and other leaders in the town together to talk and ask them what we need to do to make it even better than it is. And it's just great to be, as a faith leader, part of that. And invited into the room because of the reputation that we have of being a diverse community. So we're seen as a really diverse community in the town, which is really good. And like now being asked about, okay, so you've got access into different nations and you can find out opinions. It's great, isn't it? It's the favour of the Lord upon the town. The other the thing that I found in the meeting when I met with the folks from the hospital. So, you know, I've told you a number of times that at the hospital on the lift, there is, in the main lift in the hospital, there's 65 flags because there's 65 nations. And I said, ladies, don't tell anyone, but we are in competition with you. Don't tell anyone else in the hospital, but you know, you've got 65, we've had 44, we're trying to catch you up. Do you know what they told me? We've now got 90. Oh. So they've upped their game, and I said, ladies, we're going to up our game. 90 nations working in the hospital. You know, the gospel is for every nation. I'm looking forward to the day when we see disciples from every tribe and tongue that's in the area worshipping with us. Amen? Come on. Okay, so second little thing, quickly on this one, is that they were led by prophets and teachers. So that meant that there was real word and spirit in the leadership of the church. You know, there's good teaching from the Bible. They're really open to the move of the Spirit and the working of the Spirit. And so you've got an exciting dynamic there. So one of the things that we've got a couple of announcements today. So one of the things that we want to announce today is that we have added Omodachi to the leadership team. We've been praying. So Omodachi is now part of our leadership team. We'll be exploring eldership over the next season. So we're really excited. It's great. We're growing our leadership team. And he's been a blessing already. The prayer game has been upped. Okay? The leadership team, my goodness, our prayer level of prayer now is growing. So I'm really grateful to Amadachi for that initial instant impact, but also just the wisdom that he's bringing is wonderful too. Okay, so next thing, in verse 2, they're worshipping the Lord, they're fasting, and the Holy Spirit says, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. And so there's a dynamic in the team. They're worshipping, they're praying, the Lord is speaking, and causes Saul and Barnabas to be sent off. And, you know, they pray and lay hands on them and send them off to the work that they've got. And, you know, this is part of what being the gateway is going to be about. So when I first drove into the town to come to a prayer meeting to pray about what we should do as a movement of churches in King's Lynn, I drove under the South Gate. I know many of you will have heard this story hundreds of times, but tough, you're going to get it again just for a minute. And as I drove under the South Gate, you know, that big old gate, 1521 stone gate, as you come into town, God spoke to me just so clearly. I thought it was the audible voice of God. Call it the gateway. It will be a gateway for the gospel to go to the nations. And just, I mean, it was so clear. I turned to the guy, Andy Richards, that was with me and said, did you hear that? It was that clear. And the sense of God to call this church the gateway, and that it would be a multinational church came straight away. And then lots of other things happened in the prayer meeting. I haven't got time to talk about that as we came into the knowing that God wanted us to plant here. And so, you know, there you've got every nation that has been part of the church, every flag there of people that have been part of the church. We want the gospel to go to the nations. And it's lovely. Ivor was just telling me he's going to the Baltics, visiting with Pastor Mindaugas. You probably remember him from a year or so ago, and we'll be with him, and they'll be in the churches and serving God there. It's just great to see him. What we want to see more and more is people coming in and people getting sent out. And so at this point, I need to hand over to Case and Sarah for the next part of what we're sharing today.
There you go.
Good morning. We're here to ask you to join us on the journey we've been on for the last, well, quite a while now. He's been speaking to us and put us on a bit of a journey, and we've decided to talk to leadership, and we decided it's good to share this with you and invite you to in a way join us on this journey. I mean, it started probably about a year and a half ago, wasn't it? Do you want to say something about that?
Okay, so the journey started with a dream in November 22, and God really spoke to me in a dream. I at first thought, I don't want this dream, it's not of God, I'll shelve it. I then was actually walking with my youngest son. You probably remember Simeon, he was always on the sound, but I was walking with him to the train station one day as he's going to college, and he said, Mum, does God ever speak to you in dreams? And I went, He says, when was the last dream you had? And so I shared the dream with him, thinking he would laugh and go, no way, no how, no. And he said, Mum, this could be of God, and I'm going to pray about it. And off he went and prayed about it. And it started. That's how it started, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've been on a journey. To say that what Sarah saw in a dream is that God asked us to go and join a church elsewhere to encourage them and to be part of the different church. The church where we're looking at it is a church plant over in Thetford, so it won't be that far away. But we will be leaving here eventually, and going over there, because we feel that that's what God's asked us to do, and we that's why I say we want you to join us not in going there, but in sending us out. It's because It's something that we believe, yeah, it's the right thing to do. We've had quite a few different words on different occasions that do that. And it's quite a small church there. We've been once or twice just to look out. We've spoken to the leadership there a bit. And there's a few interesting things we found out. We found out that they've been praying for a while for 6 couples to join them. Yeah, and we're couple number 5. So God's doing something in the church there. We also found out that community as such in the church is not great, and it's something that needs building up, and we hope to be part of that. I mean, we bring with us whatever we've learned here. We're in such an intercultural church here that it's been so good, and we hope to take some of that DNA with us when we go over there and do that as well. But yeah, people keep asking us, what are you going to do? And I have to say, I don't really know. I know we have to go there. And, I mean, in lots of ways, it's doing what we're doing here. We've been here for almost 10 years, and the main thing that we've done here is we've been who God has called us to be. We've lived our lives in front of you. And I encourage you to follow in that way. I mean, if you look at Paul's letters, at one point he writes to a church and he says to them, yeah, imitate me as I've imitated Christ. And I think we've lived in a way that I'm willing to say, yeah, imitate us as we've imitated Christ. Because, I mean, whatever we've said and whatever we've done, nothing speaks as loud as your life. And I really want to encourage you to take that, take hold of Christ, and be what He's made you to be here in King's Lynn, because it makes a difference. It really does. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. So.
Yes, it happened.
That's a bit of a shock, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been praying and talking for a little while, but it's part of what God's doing. God's spoken really clearly. There's been lots of prophetic confirmation, and we're really sensing it's of God. And this is part of growing the kingdom, isn't it? It's what it is. It's people coming in, people going. Omodachi, do you want to come and share for a moment or two?
When we got the church leadership talked to us about us joining the team as God was leading them, we took time to pray, and then we were convinced that was of God, and we accepted it. And I got informed about the days of meeting, and then I walked into the first meeting, you know, not knowing what to expect, to have good fellowship and to have a lot of interaction. And then after Andy just made some opening remark in the meeting, he said, "And Case have got something to say." And I thought Case was going to build up from what Andy was saying. And then Case, you know, he has this way of just cutting the cheese straight to the point. No icing on the cake. He just said, "We're leaving." And it was like, boom. Did I just hear that? He paused a while and then he said, "Yes, we're leaving." And then he told this beautiful thing which God has been doing. Walking into this church and meeting the leadership, it never have crossed my mind in my wildest imagination that one day Case was going to leave. I thought we were going to have everyone here for the good time we are sharing and let it last for as long as it should be. I was going to be very devastated because we're quite close as a family, not just being in church. My doctor and Robin, they call themselves sisters, you know. I was going to be very devastated. I was going to be very, you know, emotional about it. And then when I was just in my depth of thinking, one scripture just came to me, and it was Acts 13, where Andy have just exhorted from. The church which was at Antioch, it's not the kind of fellowship you love to miss. Therein there were prophets, mean prophetic words were in scarce. There were teachers, mysteries of the kingdoms were being revealed. And there were other people who were doing great things. Barnabas, what a good guy he was. That was the only guy who believed what God was doing in Paul and brought Paul in and gave him a place of fellowship amongst the brethren. People were scared of Paul. If I was in that generation, I would have been skeptical that just over the night, a man would have crossed from darkness into light. I wouldn't have believed. It would take me a longer time than Barnabas. But Barnabas could see it. He went in there and the job got done. You know, that scripture came in and it's like, don't be emotional about this. Don't be taken aback about this, because this was how it happened in Acts 13. And it's a transition point for everything God was doing pre-Acts 13. Acts 13 was like the hub where others began to plug in, the Gentiles and everybody coming in. So it's quite hard to see Case and Sarah go, but that's the way God have always done it.
Yeah.
You know, when he was going to bless Abraham, he placed the blessing in Isaac. Abraham was blessed, but the fulfillment of the fullness of his blessing was in Isaac. And in Genesis 22, God came and said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, which is a temptation the gateway is going through right now, and said unto him, Abraham, behold, Abraham said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. This was a type of the New Testament. If God were to have come to me as Abraham and asked me of Isaac, after I've sent away Ishmael, I said, Isaac, whom thou love. He knows how much Isaac was loved by Abraham. That was a testimony of God. I said, give me this Isaac. Not like I'm going to do something so marvelous right now. He said, I'm going to offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham had the courage, the strength to release Isaac into God's hand. And that was the opening of the blessing of God that Isaac was carrying on behalf of Abraham. The gateway stands in that place uniquely to impart the landscape with the gospel. The courage to release the ones whom we love is where the difference will lie. And while we're praying, one of those meetings we had with them in the church, in the church office, another word came that spoke about when the seating capacity increases, when men of weight and caliber are made, the sending capacity automatically have to increase. A church with a heavy seating capacity without a sending capacity will implode. So as more men are made, we must trust God for not to be emotional, but to have the courage to release them. It will be quite hard to come into the church here and not find keys, and not like he's gone on a holiday to come back, but he's going to be away for the rest of the fellowship time. And you're talking about Ivor, and could be anyone else whom the Lord will call. And if you read down Acts 13, each place where these men went, God went ahead of them. And that's our confidence with Case and Sarah, that God is going to go before you, the God whom you love and serve. It's going to be fine. We love you.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's really pain. It's going to be painful. It's going to be painful sending, but we really do see God in it, and we've got a few weeks. So we're going to send them out on Sunday the 14th of July. You want to speak? Okay. We're going to send them out on Sunday the 14th of July. So over the next month or so, we'll be doing some transition things, because these guys have been here for 10 years. They've been impacting for more than 10 years. Really been part of the church almost from not far off the beginning. And they will leave some big holes. But as the seating capacity grows, the sending capacity grows, and as they go, God's going to raise up new leadership, new folks. We're going to be so blessed. And it's just such a blessing to be able to bless and send folks to go and be part of a church plant and really make a massive difference there. They don't know what difference they're going to make yet, but we know they're going to make a difference, don't we? Yeah. Did you want to say something, Rye? Oh, hold on, Rye, I think, first wanted to say something. You're all sitting behind each other. Go on, Rye. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, it's a little bit shocking because we've been a good friends and we really enjoy time. But what I would like to say, it's the same when our team, where I work, people going, and every time I'm with a set of mind that you need to move on. This is what God's about. But another thing what I would like to say, you're going only 26 miles away. So it's not even Europe, and it's not even London. You are going to be just close by, and I think that this little distance will not make any difference, and you will remain in our hearts, on our phones, and just 50, no, okay, half an hour, and we will meet again.
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, David.
I just want to draw us all together in a time of prayer. As Andy said, July the 14th, we'll be laying hands on this lovely couple and sending them out. But I just want to bring them before God in prayer now. But also, if it's anything like the Sunday evening when we shared this with the rest, there's a lot of stunned faces. So I want to pray for the church as well, pray for individuals as well, because it's difficult. But first of all, I want to pray for Case and Sarah. Father God, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, your ways are beyond our understanding sometimes, Lord, and we find it difficult to understand. But Lord, we know that your hand is in this. Lord, we just thank you for the times that the Case and Sarah have shared with others, Lord, and it is you. Your hand is upon them. So Lord, I just want to lift them up before you this morning. In the weeks to come, as they go through all the preparations, Lord, I just pray that you just fill them full of your wisdom, that your spirit would just guide them, Lord, every step of the way. Lord, as they're going down that path, they'll hear that little voice inside that says, not that way, but this way. Lord, help them through the practicalities of this world, Lord, in buying and selling of houses and all the practical things, Lord, because we are a people that, you know, we need your guidance in the practical things of life. Lord, I just want to lift them up. Lord, we just talk about the church in Acts, Lord, when there's Barnabas, the seat of encouragement, Lord. I just thank you that Case and Sarah have both been encouragers to people. But Lord, and my heart says also about that lovely couple in Acts, Lord, Priscilla and Aquila. Lord, they weren't just teachers of your word, Lord, but they were practical people. And Lord, we just thank you that we've seen Case and Sarah in the practical side of things in your church, Lord. And we just say, Lord, as they go out, will you just develop their giftings? Will you develop their skills, Lord, as they go into that church planted in Thetford? Lord, will you just be with them? Lord, in the dark hours of the night, when sometimes the enemy tries to get at us with those seeds of doubt, Lord, I just pray, will your spirit just so move upon them, Lord, and waken them from those negative thoughts and say, yes, we are on God's path. We are doing what he wants us to do. So, Lord, just keep them strong, keep them rooted in you, Lord. As we heard the other week in this series we're doing on kingdom growth, Lord, keep them intimate with you. So, Lord, that they'll be close to you. So, Lord, we just thank you for them, and we just bless them, Lord. And Lord, we look forward to just laying hands on them in July when they finally move on, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. So on that basis, Lord, I just pray that people will just hear from you. Lord, hear from you in these next few weeks, Lord, that they'll just be able to write down encouraging prophetic words, Lord, to bless Case and Sarah in the weeks to come. And now, Lord, I just want to lift up this body of people, Lord, this amazing people you brought from far and wide, from across the world, Lord. I just want to lift them up to you, Lord. There's all sorts of emotions going on in this building this morning, Lord, but I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon us, Lord. Give us the peace. Give us your understanding, Lord. We find it hard sometimes to see where you're going, Lord, but we just thank you that you are behind it all. So, Lord, each person here this morning, Lord, those that aren't here that will hear this news later on today and in the week, Lord, I just pray that you would just guide their hearts, Lord. Where there's upset, Lord, will you bring peace and healing of hearts, Lord, that feel confused. So, Lord, we think this is a joyous time, Lord, but at this point in time, there is some sadness in our midst. But, Lord, let us thank you, because it is part of your kingdom growth. Lord, even in our human families, Lord, sometimes we say goodbye to loved ones. Our children leave home, Lord, to find their path in this world. So, Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you for Case and Sarah, Lord, the witness they've been to us. And Lord, I just thank you that, as you said, there's going to be holes in this church, Lord. But they're God-shaped holes. And even now, Lord, you are preparing people to step out in growth, to step out and to fill those holes, because they've seen the example that God-filled, obedient people bring into a body, Lord. So, Lord, we just lift this to you. We say, Lord, send your spirit upon us. Give us your peace and understanding. We ask this now in the precious name of Jesus, because, Lord, without you, none of this would have ever happened. So, Lord, we just thank you. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Wow. Thetford are going to be seriously blessed, aren't they? It's going to be a time of breakthrough for the church there, little church that's had some struggles, and I think these guys are going to carry something really powerful with them, carry some of the DNA of Gateway and be such a blessing to them. So we'll be doing sort of things to transition, things that they've been involved with over the next month or two, and we'll have a celebration. A sad celebration, but a celebration of sending them on Sunday the 14th of July. I'm pretty sure if we can, there will be food involved, because, you know, we are the Gateway and this is Case and Sarah, so food's got to be involved really, isn't it? So if you've got any questions, do come and ask. If you want to chat to them, obviously if you want to chat to them, please chat to them. We're going to finish there. We've got tea and we've got coffee. And I'm going to pray to finish this off. Father God, thank you for your purposes, Lord. Thank you that you call, you set apart, you use us, Lord God, to grow your kingdom. And I pray today as we are kind of experiencing a bit of a gear change. And Lord, there's a gear change in your kingdom through the Gateway today. God, I pray, be with us, Lord. I pray as we go out from here today, you would use each and every one of us to extend your kingdom. And I pray where comfort needs to come, bring comfort. Lord, where grief needs to happen, bring allow grief, Lord, well. And Father, we pray, God, for a sense of peace and a joy in your wonderful kingdom purposes and your extension of your kingdom happening through all that's going on here, through those that stay and those that go, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great week. Carry that spirit with you and be a blessing to everyone that you can, everywhere in town. And meanwhile, let's have some tea and coffee and some bickies and a chat. And pick up your kids.